So far, Jesus did his ministry privately. Whenever he performed a miracle, he would tell the people not to tell anyone. Don't tell anyone. He did not look for publicity, and he did not work for publicizing his work. Even at some point, people came to make him king, which we read in John's Gospel, chapter 6. Immediately after the miracle of feeding 5,000 people, people came in big number to make him king. So he withdrew from the crowd, knowing their intention. Even at the Transfiguration Mount, Jesus transfigured before his three disciples, Peter, James, and John. Two of the Old Testament characters appeared to Jesus. At the end of this experience, while they were coming down from the Transfiguration Mount, Jesus clearly instructed his disciples not to tell anyone until he comes in glory. So when we look at Jesus' ministry, he did it everything privately. But now on Palm Sunday, he comes publicly. He comes and presents himself as the king, a victorious king. Two of Jesus' visits to Jerusalem are important. He visited Jerusalem many times. Two of them are very important. One is the Palm Sunday. He came to Jerusalem on a donkey, sitting on a donkey, presented himself as the king, and people welcomed him, acknowledged him as the king. A victorious event. That's number one, very important. The second important visit of Jesus to Jerusalem is on Maundy Thursday, the final time he came. The king gave his life for us, and he also set up the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper for all of us. And today we are going to meditate on the first important visit, which is the Palm Sunday visit. In the Old Testament, when we read, we see the prophets come with a different way of communicating the message. Jeremiah wore a yoke on his neck. He wore a yoke in his neck, and he walked around. When he walked around with the yoke on his neck, people asked this question, "Why are you doing like this?" Jeremiah immediately said, "Look, you are all going to go to exile. You are going to be caught. You will be slaves. You are going to go to Babylon." So through a dramatic event, by wearing this yoke, he communicated this message that they are all going to be going to exile. Ahijah, one of the prophets in the Old Testament, when he met with Jeroboam, Jeroboam was going away from Jerusalem. He stopped him. He had a beautiful new cloak. He took it from him and he tore it into 12 pieces. And he gave 10 to Jeroboam and said, "God is going to divide this kingdom into two. 10 tribes are going to serve you. You will be the king of the 10 tribes." A dramatic way he communicated this message to Jeroboam. Now Jesus is communicating a big message in a dramatic way. Albert Mehrabian, we know some of you who are good in communication skills, you know who he is. He is a professor of psychology. He comes with 7%, 38%, 55% communication model. What he says is very beautiful. Verbal communication will only convey 7% of the message. 38% of the message is communicated through voice modulation. You raise your voice, you use a different tone. And when you engage multi-voice or voice modulation, then that communicates fast. 38% of your message is passed through that. But non-verbal communication with action, you communicate powerfully. 55% of the message is communicated. That's what exactly Jesus is doing. A dramatic way he is communicating the wonderful message to people that he is the king. God communicates. God always communicates. Sun is not stoppable, so God's communication is also not stoppable. But the question is, are we decoding the message? Are we receiving the message? God communicates all the time. Our children asked me this question, of course, when they were growing up, they asked me this question many a times. They asked me, how did you know that God called you? How did you know? How did God call you? Has he spoken to you? My usual answer to them is that God doesn't need a language to communicate. God communicates in many ways. He doesn't need to call my name and say that, Harrison, I'm calling to my ministry. No, he has numerous ways to communicate his message. He communicates. But the question is, are we receiving it? Are we decoding it? This question is asked, what are the ways in which God communicates? People come up with 6 ways, 10 ways, 8 ways. But I would say numerous ways. You cannot just put God in a bracket and say, this is the way God is going to communicate. No, many ways he communicates. But one of the ways he certainly communicates is through his scripture. He has given this to us. When we read, God speaks to us. Have you read the Bible this morning? God wants to communicate through his word. We need to be reading, and he is communicating to us. How many ways in which God communicates? I don't know. As many people as live on this earth. I don't know how many people live on this earth. So much are the ways he may be communicating. Everyone he is uniquely dealing with. So God communicates, and we need to be sensitive to listen to his word, his communication. I don't think God is stoppable, even if we don't listen. But God is communicating. In this incident, in this Palm Sunday, several symbols are coming up. He is riding on a donkey, which was never ridden before. Nobody sat on this donkey ever before. What does that mean? That means he is a unique king. He is not coming on anybody's order. He is a king, a special king, a unique king. Israelites immediately know when they see a person on a donkey. Yes, Jehu, when he was announced as a king, Solomon asked Jehu to be announced as his successor, his king, the king of Israel. Immediately he was made sit on Solomon's donkey, and they have taken him around and announced that, hail King Jehu. That means this is the way they are going to recognize the new king. And Jesus now sitting on the donkey coming, people immediately recognize that he is the king. People used palm branches and leaves. Yes, they are the signs of victory. This king who is coming is the victorious king. No defeat is going to be on his side. He will be always victorious. And the king, when he comes to the city, the capital city, that means he has come to rule the city or rule the nation. But this king who came to the city did not go to the palace. If you read beyond the portion that was read to us outside Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 11, when you read further, you would notice that the king did not go to the palace. He straightaway went to the temple. Why did he go to the temple? Why didn't he go to the palace? Palace is the place of selected people, for the place of princes, for the place of ministers, for the place of the one who are invited. Common people are not allowed there. But that's not the case in the temple. Everyone is welcome. And he goes to the temple where he receives everyone. He is the king of all. He goes to the temple. And when he goes on a donkey. He is not on a horse. He is not coming to war. He is coming offering peace. He is coming on a meek animal, in a slow pace, in a slow speed. And everyone can come near to him. He is not being protected by armed forces. No, not at all. He is one among the people. He is the people's king. He is coming, and people can come near to him, touch him, embrace him, accept him. Politicians, when they come, they ask for votes. Kings, when they come, they demand taxes. But this king, when he comes offering peace. He comes to us, the righteous king, the only true king, offering peace unto all of us. Anyone can go and embrace him and receive him. This portion also we did not read, but then I thought I will pick that point as well. Jesus going to the temple, cleansing the temple. He saw the things which are not in order at all. He overthrows the table of the money changers, of the people who were selling doves. He chased them out. He is bringing order. He is establishing peace. Not only that, he is establishing justice. What is justice here? The temple is meant for all people, but they have made the place a place of business. The temple is surrounded with a huge compound. That's how it is being designed. Why? When people come from far places, they can make their tents and stay inside the compound, inside the temple vicinity. But they made that place as a place where business is taking place. They were selling this. They were selling animals. No place people could come and occupy for their stay in Jerusalem. And money changers were sitting at the entrance changing money. What does that mean? The Jerusalem temple has got a rule that you cannot offer coins with images. So when you bring coins from far country, you have to change it to a coin which has no image. The money changers sit at the entrance, receive your coins, and they pay a high price for the change of currency. People were making money, money, money. Jesus looked at them and said, "No, that's not the way my house is." He chased them out. And he said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." Very clearly, he is the king, and this king is going to establish his kingdom on this earth, which is going to be in order, which is going to be in peace, and which will have justice and righteousness flowing like water. And this is a foretaste of his kingdom. He has now shown it what kind of king he is. He has come to establish justice. That's the foretaste. Yes, when his kingdom is going to be established fully on this earth, that's what we are going to see. It's full of peace, full of order, full of justice. What a wonderful scene. Jesus chose on this occasion to reveal himself. Scholars are of the opinion that around 2.7 million people were there in Jerusalem at this time. This time of the year is very busy. Passover meal celebration. People from different parts of the world come. On this occasion, Jesus revealed himself as the king. Three kinds of people we see in this whole procession. One group joined with Jesus, participated with the crowd, and they enjoyed welcoming Jesus. Hosanna, save us now. You have come, King. You have come. Save us. We need you. They participated, they enjoyed, and they joined the whole procession, a group who involved with the king. The second group are the people who stood on the side roads and asked, who is this? We want to know him. Who is this? They were inquiring. They were asking, who is this? And they answered beautifully, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. The people who walked in the procession, they were not keeping their mouths shut. They introduced, you know, we know who he is. He is the prophet. He is the king. Save now. That's what the shout they gave. And they said, he is the prophet. They introduced to the people who inquired. Other group of people, they wanted to stop the procession. They did not want it at all. No, it's a noise pollution. This should not happen here. This is a peaceful city. We don't want any noise. Oh, they were also saying that this is a time of celebration and we don't want any kind of disturbance in this celebration. Such kind of a gathering, such kind of a procession may trigger a riot. We don't want. They told Jesus' disciples, stop. They told Jesus to stop his disciples, stop. They were opposing. Now the question comes to us, whom do we belong? Which group do we belong? Are we standing outside and marveling at Jesus? Or are we opposing Jesus? Or are we participating in this entire procession, enjoying the presence of Jesus? Pope Francis came up with the three kinds of Christians. He said there are three kinds of Christians. Number one, Christians in the light. People, they follow Jesus sincerely. They are part of Jesus. The second group is Christians in the gray side. Gray side means people, a gray area, I'm sorry. They neither on that side or in the full darkness side, but they stand in the gray area. He is concerned about these two groups. And the third group is Christians in the dark. Something has to happen so that they can be revived. So he talked about these three groups, and I thought I will pick up about these first two groups with some illustration, and then I will close my meditation. Christians in the gray area are the people who quickly go back to their comfort zone. They want to come and show their face. Okay, that's enough. It's too hot. Let me go back. I lived in Kuwait. Kuwait sometimes hit 50 degrees Celsius. It's really, really hot. During that hot season, you don't want to go and stand in the sun. But you had to go out. You had to go out to your work. You had to go to market. So what do you do when you come under the sun? You run. You run to a shade so that you can be saved from the sun. Are we Christians like that? Come, and when it's getting hotter, when it disturbs our comfort zone, we want to go back and sit and relax. Are we trying to run away? Let's talk about the Christians in the light. There was a story written by somebody. It's an imagination. It's called Monday Donkey. Just imagination. The donkey which carried Jesus on Palm Sunday was excited, too excited. In the sense, the donkey never seen in his life that kind of welcome. People welcomed her, welcomed him, or they raised a slogan. They said many good things. His feet never touched on the mud ground. Always walked on a cushion, a cloth, or palm leaves. A very good experience. So the donkey did not sleep on Sunday night at all. Very much excited. So the next morning, he told his mother that, "Look, I'm going out. I'm going to go out and have the same experience." So without expecting any reply from his mother, he walked out. He came to the well side. People looked at him and said, "Why are you here?" They chased him. So the donkey told himself, "What? These people are common people, illiterate. They don't know the importance of me." So the donkey went to the market area. When he went to the market area there, nobody noticed him. Nobody noticed him. In fact, somebody came and he kicked him on his back. So with angry, he left that place. As he was walking, boys saw him and boys stoned at him. So with the tears in his eyes, he came back home. The mother asked, "Why are you crying?" He said, "Nobody recognized me today." The mother donkey said, "Foolish child, without Jesus, you are just an ordinary donkey. Without Jesus, you are an ordinary donkey. Though we claim that we are in the light, the question is, are you carrying Jesus on you? With Jesus, I am a hero, but without Jesus, I am a zero." May the dear Lord help us so that we always carry him with us. God bless us all. Amen.